Okay, just briefly, there's going to be some significant expense in legal that goes in there. You know, we've got a new general counsel. He came to the board meeting, and he's, you know, had to spend time getting up to speed. So there'll be some significant dollars that'll get assigned in that category to the national office, namely the board, or some combination thereof.
Mm-hmm. Ken, you're next.
Okay. On line 146, shared services, could you explain what that is? Is that the central services, or what do those numbers represent?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Ken.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Line 146 of the spreadsheet, shared services, could you give an explanation of what those numbers represent?
Yes, the shared services are what we have called central services. And basically, calling them shared versus central services kind of really, I think, tells what it's about, since it's about the shared services include our expenses, include Democracy Now!, includes the insurance. Those major line items that are above, that's what that includes. So that's why we call it shared services, because it's shared among the stations. And it is based on the listener support revenue. So if listener support revenue was actually the listener, it's based on listener support revenue, but this will also be adjusted in the month of February's results will be adjusted, because we actually reduce the budget, the budgeted amount of shared services for WBAI. So therefore, the calculation is based on the old calculation. So that will come down some in the month of in the year-to-date results for February year-to-date. But again, it's based on listener support income. It's the 17 plus 2.5%. For the national office, it's 17%. For BAI, adjusted it.
Just to be.
Okay, wait a second, Ken. Let LaVarne finish the sentence, then we'll go back to you.
Oh, I'm through. Okay. I'm through. Go ahead.
Is this revenue national office acquired or expenses national office acquired?
For shared expenses?
When it says minus, year-to-date, minus $582,000.
Okay, how that's calculated is you have, if you go up to the top of the line for listener support revenue for all the stations have listener support revenue. That's based on 17% of the listener support revenue for the station. And those funds are used to pay the shared services, the audit costs, the Democracy Now!, the insurance, all of those items that seem to go up each year. That's what that really covers.
So it's an offset against the direct expenses, which are posted to the national office, several of which are shared services to which all the stations contribute.
So shared services is, you're listing an expense, not
income. The shared services are expenses.
Okay.
And what you do, the shared services is an offset to those expenses. It's a transfer. You transfer the funds from the station to the national office to offset expenses. For example, the transfer we show January year-to-date, $582,000. Okay, so if we look at some of our major expenses in the national office, they would include Democracy Now!, that's $225,000. Insurance, $70,000.
Audit.
So those are some of the expenses those are some of the funds that you're transferring from the station to cover those expenses that are there in the national office.
Okay, I'm not trying to be thick here, but I'm sure there's got to be other people who don't understand it or who falling asleep. But what I'm trying to say is, does this mean that you expended $582,000, or that you owe $582,000, or that you collected $582,000?
What okay,
does
this
that
is what it means.
Should have collected. Should have collected is the right term.
Tracy.
Minus 582.
That's right. Tracy said it correctly. That's how much we should have collected. It's $582,000 from the station to cover those expenses that we hold and that we pay in the national office.
And it's $67,000 more than you thought it was going to be.
Well, on this calculation, it's calculated to be $67,000 more.
Okay.
But that's not what we've received.
Is that reported anywhere?
That would be in the cash flow.
Yes, and I'm going to say again that at some point we need to, I think with these quarterly income statements as a reporting mechanism, we need to have the accurate shared services totals more readily available. There's a time lag that I think is confusing for people. And so my hope is that we will be able to address getting those things more contemporaneously sometime this year. I think it would help.
What our goal is at the end of this quarter that we should have those, or even at the end of this quarter, that we will have that hopefully the audit will be over, so we will be able to flow the balance sheet, the cash, and, of course, we have the P&L numbers because that just comes in on a monthly basis. So that's what we'll be able to do. And if you look at your budget, it has the cash flow in there, so we should be able to update those sheets for by station. And KPFT does this every month, but the other stations do not. But that's the goal, is the end of the quarter, to do that. In the end of this quarter, if the audit is completed, then we will have balance sheet, cash flow, P&L. We have the major payables. We have the headcount, which is also very important.
Mm-hmm.
Could I get a follow-up question on the shared expenses?
One more, yes.
If I look at the shared expenses at one of the stations, let's say mine, KPFK, those amounts are what the station made payments to National.
At KPFK, that would be the payments that they should have. The shared services, those are the payments that they should have made to.
Should have, not actual, but should have.
And at KPFK, really close to actual at this point. But I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, what does the spreadsheet represent? Does it represent what was owed or what was paid? What number goes in there?
What is owed.
Okay, so for the station, it's what it's owed. Okay, thank you.
Kim, I have a question.
Okay, Kim, go ahead.
Well, considering that KPFK has brought in less listener funds than expected, has our central services been lowered?
It's a percentage. It would be automatic.
Yes. If you look at your sheet on the package that was sent out at KPFK, line 29, for year to date, you have shared services of $189,933. The budget was $192. It's very small, but the difference is a positive $2,236. And that's because, as you said, if you look at line 9 on listener support, you have
a $50,000 shortfall, right?
Yes.
Okay. So at this point, is there anything else on this, or are we ready to shift to WPFW? Okay. Thank you, LaVon. I think we are ready to shift to WPFW. So, Marcus,
you are up.
Hi.
Craig.
Hi.
I'm sorry. What was that, Levine?
It's Arlene. I just wanted to let people know that I have to leave at 7:15, so I don't want to interrupt Marcus's report, but I will just quietly leave then.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Marcus?
I'm using January income statement number 2, first 4 months, October through January.
Great.
Year-to-date income is $500,000, $559,653.
Mm-hmm.
Expenses are year-to-date $557,334. If you look at the numbers, listener support is good. We continue to struggle with non-listener support income. We had virtually none during this four-month period, which is a big challenge. There's been lots of brainstorming and discussions about how to improve that. If we page down to the details, again, website, corporate match, major donor, donations, all very little raised at any time, which represents a major challenge for our organization and for our management. And hopefully there's going to be some improvement forthcoming with that. Our listener support is up, and we're doing pretty good with listener support. On expenses, I will mention we currently still have a part of our staff on a reduced salary, and part of our staff are not on reduced salary, which has become an issue, I think, and something that we may need to address. If we take you on to administrative expenses, there are a couple of points in here of note. Let's see, we had some legal fees, which are unexpected. We went 70% over budget, which I'm told could not be helped. We have office expenses is up, and I believe that is up because in October the food for the drive was budgeted in the office and supplies expenses. I'm not sure if that's accurate, if that's the appropriate way to account for that expense, but I'm told that is the reason for the October inflated number in the office and supplies expenses. A few overruns on some of the other expenses, 18-20%, nothing that's terribly huge. Associated dues and periodicals is up. Development expenses are, our credit account discount fees are up, and that's an indication that more of our pledges are being paid by credit card, which is a good thing. Let's see, the premium shipping and postage is way up. And I have yet to get to the bottom of that, but that is a disturbing increase. Let's see. It looks like I missed something. What did I miss? And then we had some increases in our power utilities, which we had an air conditioning unit that went out. We had to replace. And our consultants line, we had several people at working as consulting, who have now been switched over to another category, and so that line will go down significantly. Let's see what else. I think that those are the major issues. I'm happy to take any questions. Oh, there is one other thing. Sorry, there was neither the general manager or the business manager, who incidentally has now moved from 40 hours to 10 hours, which is a major challenge, understood the free speech radio expenses. Apparently, when the budget was made, we used the number from the last year, and the expenses for Fish News Radio have exceeded the last year's number significantly, and they could not provide me with an answer on why they thought that I should bring it up to the national office and see if they can share with us why that number is so much larger than it was from last year. That's it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Questions?
Lavarne.
Or Paul. Kim. Kim.
Okay, I heard.
Tracy is Campbell. I just want to make one comment on the.
Okay. All right. We generally let the PNB member affiliated with the station go first. So, Campbell, go ahead, and then we will go back to the stack.
Yeah, I was going to mention that the sharp increase in the premium shipping expenses pretty much, as I understand, it result from our playing catch-up in terms of these expenses, you know, the shipping of premiums, and also a switch over to a fulfillment house that's undertaking a lot of that responsibility, so that it's taken off of the staff. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go to the stack. We had our Paul first.
Yeah. What, of course, you're going to have to move. WPFW is going to have to move. Could we hear a little bit about how that's impacting this at all? Does
well,
that show up here yet, or is that still all in the future?
We've done a little in raising independent funds for that. We have gotten a six-month extension on our lease. Campbell has more information on that than me, which allows us a little bit of breathing room on gaining that information, gaining the funds for that. But we are woefully behind in raising those funds, and it is a great concern. Campbell, do you want to add anything?
Yes. Madam Chair? Hello? Madam
yes,
Chair,
Campbell?
Are you there?
Yes, Campbell.
Okay, I was going to add a little bit pursuant to what Marcus was saying. I'm chairing the Relocation Committee, and this is quite a challenge. We have identified a number of very attractive opportunities. We're in negotiations with one of the entities, and since we're all well, this is streamed, but we feel very positive about that particular thing. There's another opportunity that is just about like last year. We had Broadcast House as one that was Broadcast House is a network television station building, and they had some space available in their building that would have been ideally suited for us for, you could say, the next 5 to 7 years. And what occurred was that after we had, you know, made our pitch and everything, we didn't hear anything from them. Since, you know, they're under no obligation to report back to you on it, I think that the circumstance was that they felt our financial posture was not one that would be adequate in terms of carrying forth the responsibilities for that facility. So we've got a challenge. And in that regard, one of the things that I'm looking to do is, in addition to increasing WPFW's efforts and revenues, I'm hoping to share with the network some of the kinds of things that we have as perhaps success stories. And, Madam Chair, you can recall the I guess, a couple of pieces that I had shared previously. But we had just reached, just this past Saturday, a carnival event, and that was very successful. This is something I think that our other stations can replicate, and I hope to be able to share the information that we can put together in terms of the plan that went into that. I'm also looking for a unique opportunity that I think we can capitalize on and be able to engage a strong partnership with the city or an educational institution in the city insofar as advancing. I'll share this with you as soon as our committee has approved it, and I think that we will we'll have something really innovative that Pacifica could look at replicating as it would relate to the cultural uniqueness of our individual stations. As you know, our predominant identification is with jazz, although we do engage a lot of other forms of music. And I think that this kind of thing, if our stations are in the leadership, so to speak, of the cultural engagement in the various cities, that we can all be doing a lot better. And that, I think, would certainly be a benefit for WPFW and our relocation effort. Thank you.
This is Marcus. If I could just add.
I don't want to go too back and forth. There are other people on the committee that are on the stack. So make this fast, and then we're going to go to the rest of the committee.
May I finish my point, please?
Yes.
I just wanted to reiterate, we have had two special events, carnival and a what we call the UC Jam, that were very successful. And so I think there's a lot of effort in planning additional events that seem to be very, very profitable, and we're able to use the PFW brand to raise a fair amount of money with them. So there's a lot of planning in that regard.
Okay. We will go on now to our Paul Martin was next on the stack.
That was just me. I asked a question about the move.
Okay. Kim?
Oh, somebody was before me. Whoever was
before LaVarn me. Was before you, but I don't mind your going if you want to
go. No, I'll go at the end.
Okay, LaVarn?
I prefer to go at the end.
Oh, geez.
Well, guys, come on. Someone's got to go now.
Okay. Stop. I'm just kidding. That's kidding.
Oh, yeah, Tim was
I'm ready to go. Now, I have a question. Or just with Marcus, if you look at the direct mail, we had a budget there. So in your discussions about the revenue, have you guys talked about what you're going to do with direct mail, or you're going to do something else instead of?
Just instead of using the fulfillment house?
Well, no, you have budgeted funds for using direct mail for fundraising, and I don't see those. You haven't spent. Any of that, and you have $14,000 in the budget for the first 4 months.
May I touch base on that, Chair?
No. Let's finish what the question is, okay? Come on.
Okay.
Kim?
Okay.
LaVarn, finish your question.
No, I thought Marcus might, because I have a couple of other questions, but why don't we just go ahead and answer that quickly, because my other question is kind of like general, too.
Okay, Marcus, you get first stab at the question.
Yeah, I can't answer that question at this time.
Okay, Campbell? Okay, Campbell, do you want to jump in?
Yes, thank you. This is something, these are related to initiatives in regard to major donors and, using direct mail efforts for them, also for people who have let their memberships lapse. And I don't think that we have very assertively gone after, the possible low-hanging fruit there. But in both of those would be included in the direct mail effort that we would be coming forth with.
Okay.
Okay, LaVon, you are next.
Okay,
your follow-up question. Go ahead.
Right, and the other is on, you were talking about the Free Speech Radio News. Well, the offset to that is that your CPB funding was a little higher than expected, so that's the offset to that higher FSRN. And when we budgeted, the desire was that, the goal was that we did not know how much we would get in CPB funds. So we budgeted like either from 10 to 20% lower than the prior year. But it actually came in either at that amount or even somewhat higher. And if you look at your CPB grants income, you have it's $28,450 higher better than budget for your CPB, where some of that offset is. So that's why the FSRN is at that level. So again, the goal when we start looking at budgeting, you know, we don't know how much CPB will be. So, you know, I try to budget the budget a little lower, and on this side, maybe keep the expense side, but, you know, it just depends on how we agree and what the numbers look like at the end. The other is just that, other question is on the website income, so it's both in terms of what you're doing with website income and what you're doing with your it's the direct mail income. And so those are the things that really need to have addressed. You've already addressed the donations part, so I understand that. So that's basically it, unless you want to comment more or Campbell would like to comment.
I think those are good suggestions, and I'll certainly follow up with them.
Okay. Who else wants to be on the stack? I think, Kim, you are now at the end, so you have to go.
Jim, I was on the stack.
Oh, you were. Do you want to jump in front of Kim?
Yeah, no, he hasn't spoken at all. Yeah.
Jim?
Yeah. I had two things, and I'd like to make a comment kind of at the end. I was just curious on the listener support.
Yes.
Do you know what, did you do anything different that would have led that increase in listener support happened? My other question is kind of a general thing on the carnival. Did you contract that out, or did the station put that all together?
The station put it all together. I'm pleased to announce that we included it as a premium. So that was a very successful promotion. That wouldn't have been in these numbers. Regarding the listener support, what did we do? I mean, we just begged and pleaded. I think we did more of all of the same things that we always do. We added a few days here and there to supplement, which allowed us to make our goals, but nothing that I can report, you know, out of the ordinary, just a very vigorous appeal, an honest appeal about our situation, the mood and the urgency of our financial situation.
Okay. I just have one other comment, something that Bill had kind of brought up many times before.
Sure.
At KPFT, we just have, during the fund drive, all our food is donated for the volunteers. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's, I don't know how much that saves us. And
right.
It's kind of a pain to do it, but even the University of Houston station down here that just bought out the Rice station, this last fund drive, they initiated a very aggressive program on the air to get donated food for their volunteers.
Right.
And, you know, right. If you're talking $5,000-$7,000 a fund drive, you put that 3 or 4 times a year, it may be worth putting somebody on there, a couple of volunteers, because once it starts rolling, the restaurants they step up, and
right.
They come back every fund drive. But I know Bill had pushed that before, and that's just been real successful for us.
Right. That's an excellent suggestion, and we were just talking about that today. We do get donations from restaurants, and we certainly plan on decreasing the food budget significantly. Less food.
That's it for me.
Oh, also, LaVarne, back on the set.
All right, Kim, you're next, followed by LaVarne.
Maybe you answered this, but I didn't hear. Higher expenses are maintenance tech stuff.
Right.
Maintenance
we've had some,
engineer stuff. Yeah. Also, I saw some higher programming costs.
Yes, the programming costs are still a mystery. I think there were additional premiums added. That's not good. That's not a good number. It was 82% over. The maintenance costs, we have had some challenges with the transmitter. We had some air conditioning challenges. They seem to just, and there was some increased utility costs. My impression is that the budget number we used was probably low. We should have budgeted more money for that expense. But they were all, you know, fairly routine. There was nothing way out of the ordinary, just kind of maintenance required to keep the figure up and do our job.
Yeah, okay. I guess, I'm with our Paul. It's like, how are you guys going to move?
I think you want to say it again?
I'm just saying, and I'm not expecting an answer, but I'm just like, how are you guys going to move, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I do think that you did absolutely increase your fund drive days. Do you know what the number is?
I do not have that offhand. I know, I think we're at like 17 or 18. Do you have a number on that, Campbell?
No, I don't have the precise number, but I can tell you the strategy that was used. And we find that we do a lot stronger in terms of listener support results on our weekend programming, which is music. We do a lot better. And so what's taken place is that some days would have been cut out, say, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday during the week, and then Saturday and Sunday would be added. And I think we had two weekends where Saturday and Sunday were added to get us up to the goal that we had set.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is Tracy. I'm going to put myself on the stack.
Ken on the stack.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Ken,
Kim.
And then me.
I'm sorry,
who was that?
LaVarne.
LaVarne.
After Kim.
Campbell.
Oh, yes. Okay. Ken, LaVarne, and me. Ken, go ahead.
Campbell, during the weekend fund drives, that you added weekends to the fund drive, what were you pitching? Were you pitching music, or were you pitching vitamins, or
No, we don't pitch vitamins.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, goodness,
well,
my God.
We got some extra special snake oil we get from Arkansas in L.A. It's
Kim, you are
virgin,
bad.
Virgin snake oil. Virgin snakes. Okay, but what is it, what were the premiums on the weekend?
I think some of them were music, particular artists that we were, working with. I think at one point we also had Gil Scott-Heron's materials on there, and I think that – did we talk about this on NFC previously? We've got an ongoing – there is – Pacifica has an ongoing effort to resolve some misunderstandings in relation to that, but – that was something that was very popular because, you know, Gil Scott-Heron lived in D.C. and was very popular in our community. So, but I think some of them were the normal types of premiums that had been previously relied on, although we tried to, it's been a continuing strategy, I guess, say, over the past 4 years at least, of trying to rein in, you know, the kind of freewheeling efforts that had been undertaken in regard to the programmers identifying premiums to offer.
Okay, but just as a follow-up, it sounds like you were offering specialized music for your established listener base rather than popular music across the market, just specialized geared to your existing listener base.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Okay, LaVarne, you're next.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on, like, last year at WPFW, there were some antenna, like, in the year before, there were some issues with the antenna and the broadcast and some failures. And I think that perhaps this year it shows that, you know, you're able to operate it more than 10% or on your, and been able to reach your audience, and that really shows the pickup in the listener support, which is very good. And just, you were talking about your fun drive days and the weekends, like on the last day of your drive, which was a Saturday, you raised like $39,000. The other two weekends, you were raising at least $30,000 a day, whereas the weekdays here are somewhere in the teens. So at PFW, the weekend and the programming, the jazz programming on the weekend really shows a contribution by your listening audience. And adding that day on the 25th, that extra day, you know, brought in almost $40,000. So that was very good.
There may have been something special with regard to that. Do you recall anything along those lines, Marcus?
I know that last pledge drive day was a very special day, and we raised a whole heck of a lot of money. I think it was just about programmer appeal, and, you know, we had premiums, but I think it was just a really good job from the programmers of appealing to the audience on a day, Saturday, which is our most productive day.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Okay, so I am next. I guess what I just want to kind of, you know, highlight is the lack of, you know, progress towards the goals that were set out to support the move in last year's budget, which as everyone but Marcus will recall, were pretty ambitious, and we wanted to support WPFW in making the effort. But it looks to me like the numbers are really not coming through at all, specifically around the attempt to have a capital campaign and to substantially bring in more income from community events and from donations, which is the pieces that were supposed to be used to put this all together. Specifically, there was supposed to be a significant amount of consultant help. I don't know if that's happening or not happening. But I think it's a fairly serious issue. So I'd like to propose that at a future finance committee meeting that we dig into this a little deeper, possibly in closed session. I'm open to that. I think we may need to have the WPFW GM on with us. And I think we need to do a little bit of reviewing what the budget said, where we're at, what the gaps are, and what the plan's going to be. Because it looks to me like it will only get worse, not better, in the next 3 to 6 months. So I am putting that out as a suggestion for the Finance Committee.
This is Kim.
Yes, Kim.
I forgot about this, but I would like to make a motion that when the treasurers do our quarterly reviews, that the general managers or business managers, whichever is relevant at the particular station, be present on these calls. I think that just our reporting is all very nice, but it's not very effective in terms of communicating with the stations and having the people who are responsible for this really address these issues that the group addresses.
So let me ask some clarification. You're just asking about this in regards to the quarterly review.
not all the time.
No, right. I'm making a motion that the general managers or business managers be present when each treasurer goes over their particular quarterly review and going forward. Can I get a second?
Marcus on the stack.
Okay, give me a second here. I hear you, Marcus. I think that you don't need a second because it's in committee. I'm going to suggest that you clarify whether you mean GMs or business managers or both. And I'm also going to clarify that the committee can only invite. The committee does not have the power to compel. We do have people come and join us for budgetary sessions. Mm-hmm. So we would now be adding whenever we do regular financial reviews that we would issue invites.
Right.
So think about that for a sec. I'll come back to you. Marcus, you are next.
Can I get the...
Yeah, I hear you are, Paul. You'll be next.
I just think both of those suggestions are fantastic. Your suggestion of going, digging further, deeper into our challenges is very timely, and Kim's suggestion is very timely as well. I welcome them.
That sounds reasonable. And so, R. Paul, you are next.
Well, I want to get the wording right. What I have is, when the treasurers do quarterly reviews, that general managers or business managers be present on these calls.
This is Kim. I'll qualify that. Whichever each station feels more comfortable. I mean, I would be happy to have the business manager, but our business manager is not involved in this process, and so the general manager at our station would be the appropriate person. That may be different at the other stations. I can't. So it's up to the station to determine which person is the appropriate one to be invited. Ideally, it should be the business managers, but you know, that doesn't seem to work at every station.
I agree with Kim.
I don't know that the wording of the motion is at odds with that.
You can say the business manager or general manager at the discretion of the treasurer, I guess. In the judgment of the treasurer should be invited. Each treasurer decide, you know, or ask either one, see who wants to come. I don't know.
It seems to me that is likely what would be the point of contention. I suspect that it depends on the individual station which would be the most helpful.
Right.
I suspect that we should either specify one or the other, or we should invite both. Maybe inviting both is the simplest way to do it. What do people think?
Barbara.
Oh, let's do this. Kim, finalize the wording on the motion. I'm not going to tell you. Whichever way you want to put it out, then, since the motion's on the floor, we will put it sort of on the table until Marcus's report is complete, which it may be, and then we can either take it up this time or we can take it up next time.
Well, I will say general manager or business manager at the discretion of the treasurer, or I don't care, you know.
Madam Chair?
I don't think it's the same for every station, so you can't say it's going to be all business managers or all GMs, because each station has their own particular quirk.
Okay, first order, I think the chair made a ruling. Let's follow that. Let Marcus finish.
Okay, so thank you, Kim. The motion is accepted. We are going to have to finalize the wording. I understand R. Paul's concern. Actually, we are in the middle of a PFW report, so let's continue with that.
Okay, so we're
point of information, Madam Chair.
Just a second, Campbell. So, Kim, you are on the stack, and you took the advantage to make the motion. Is there anyone else who was on the stack before we? Okay, Campbell, what's your point of order?
Yeah. A point of information is supposed to take a precedence. And the reason that I'm adding this point of information is that our business manager is now just working 10 hours a week. And he has, as far as I know, secured alternative employment, except that he is putting in about 10 hours a week at the station.
I understand.
And I think that his availability might not be
might not be there. So,
and in that case, obviously, it would be the general manager in Campbell.
Right.
That's not a point of information. A point of information is a question.
When
okay.
Marcus?
I'll say that I thought Marcus was done, which is why I kind of presented this.
Okay.
Kind of
well, let's find out if that's the case before we assume. Marcus, is the report completed? Is there anything else?
No.
Okay.
Report complete.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to thank you, Marcus. It's your first
it could be hard
month,
to tell.
And it's really hard to do, and you did a great job.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have two sort of things on the floor. The first was the specific issue of, you know, the moving challenges that WPFW faces, the budgetary plan and the distance between the budgetary plan and what we've got, and the idea that we devote an upcoming session to discussing that in more depth. I heard Marcus say that's a fine idea with him. Are there any objections to doing that? Okay. I don't think it will be the next finance committee meeting, but I'm thinking that perhaps it would make sense for us to do it at the meeting after that, which would be April 10th. So if I don't hear any objections, we will head in that direction, and I will make a formal inquiry of the volunteer business manager, who probably will not make it, and the GM, whether they would be available for such a session on the 10th. The next issue is whether or not we want to deal with Kim's motion at this time, or postpone it to the next meeting. I'll take opinions on that.
Well, I personally would like to settle it tonight. I don't see why it's not that big a deal.
Okay. To the stack.
Ken, go ahead.
I asked to be on a couple of times.
Great.
Okay, Ken, then we'll go to Barbara.
Okay, I think the person at the helm should be the business manager, but at the discretion of the GM, he may have to sit in. Actually, so I would say that the business manager should be invited to attend, and it is absent the general manager or other appointed staff member. Because maybe that the business the general manager says the operations officer or somebody, secretary.
So you're arguing for inviting both. Yeah.
The business manager, or at the discretion of the general manager, a different staff member.
Okay.
No, I'm going to object to that.
Kim, you're not on the stack. Wait. All right, Barbara is next.
Well, I agree with the notion that it should be up to the parties at the station to decide which is appropriate person to attend a meeting when there's the treasurer's reporting. And I hadn't thought about the operations manager. It depends on what the issues are at the time. It very well might be that it could be somebody totally different. But I also agree that probably the first choice should be the business manager. But from, you know, what people are talking about, I think it could be the general manager also. And I'm in favor of voting on this tonight. I'm not quite sure about the wording, how to do that.
Okay. This is Tracy. I am calling on myself. Is there anyone else who wants to speak to this?
Jim on the stack.
I do.
I know you do, Kim. Jim is on the stack. Who else? Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it should be up to the station to pick whoever the station wants to present. But I'd also say that that is somewhat time consuming for someone from the station to listen in. To perhaps be part of of 10 minutes of the meeting, and if we end up postponing to another meeting, I would have to say that I think a general manager or a business manager gets one shot, and on the NFC meeting, if we don't get to them, they don't have to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should drag them through two or three meetings
right.
until we get to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're pretty good generally at getting to the stuff on our agenda, but I understand what you're saying. Okay, I'm on the stack. Kim, go ahead.
I just want to say I object to having the business, the operations manager or some other person who never comes to the finance meetings, has no clue about our budget, or has no financial oversight. So I object to that as an alternative. And I just know at our station, the general manager is much more engaged. He comes to the finance meetings. You know, he presents the budget. Our business manager is different than at other stations. So, and it's an invitation. They're not required to do it. But they are responsible for their budget. I'm not. And, you know, especially when stations are in trouble, there's, you know, they need to step up and address these issues, I think, a little more and be a little more engaged in our station. That's kind of my, you know, reasoning for doing this. It's not punitive, but we're all, you know, this is a good committee, and we all have ideas of, like, how we can, you know, do stuff better. And so it's engagement, not for punishment, but for support and kind of to help each station deal with these problems, which we all have.
All right. This is Tracy. I'm going to put myself on the stack. To some degree, I'm going to talk against the motion, but let me say what my reasons are, and then maybe we might even be able to find a way to make the motion work, but I definitely have some concerns. It seems to me that I want LSB treasurers to be engaged with their station and to be able to answer the questions that the committee poses. I don't want to get into a situation where we toss all the questions back onto the staff and we sort of let the LSB treasurers off the hook for understanding what is going on with the numbers at their station. I think that is really, really important. The LSB treasurer is not a gopher between the NFC and the staff. The LSB treasurer is a responsible party in the drawing up of the budget and also needs to be a responsible party in how the budget is executed and implemented over the course of the year. So I think that is important. I know that LSB treasurers often feel helpless, but I don't think that they actually should. And I think this business of punting all the questions back to staff is actually a disservice to the foundation. The LSB treasurers need to be able to answer the questions. In terms of having people on, I think it's important to remember that we're a committee of the board. The board does not have direct supervisory authority over business managers. At the moment, that is the general manager of the station. I don't think that we can or should have business managers on our call without GM supervision. I think it's fine if a GM says it's okay by me, I don't care. But I think we get into a difficult situation when we deal independently with business managers on this call, and my guess would be that it would not be advised. So I'm going to suggest that the invitation go out to the general manager, who is the employee that we have some authorization to interact with, and if the general manager chooses to come themselves, that's fine. If they choose to send someone else in their stead, I think that's also acceptable. If we want to say the only other acceptable alternative is the business manager, to avoid Kim's concern with operations people or other random folks being sent, I think that's fine. But I think the invitation should go out to the GM to either send themselves or the business manager or both as they see fit on the given day. And I think from a protocol point of view, in terms of who this committee is and the lines of authority within the network, that would make more sense than some of the other stuff that I've heard. So I'm going to leave that out there, and I'm going to, you know, my suggestion to Kim would be that's how to word the motion.
This is Kim. I just want to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
Go
ahead.
You know, just, I mean, it's it's like funny to me your take on it, because, you know, actually I'm coming from like the complete opposite place where I'm not punting. I do have the information, and other people don't. And I want other people to be more engaged, not where I'm kind of on top of all this stuff and everybody's blowing it off, kind of, because, like, I'm the only one watching. That's what I don't want.
Right. So what's your point about what that has to do with the protocol of who we ask?
Well, it doesn't, but it's not. You say you don't want the treasurers to punt it back to the staff, but I'm saying in my situation, it's different.
I wasn't talking about your situation.
Okay. Well, you know, you made a statement that seemed to indicate that, you know, and I'm just saying I am on top of it, and I think that other people, you know, the people who are, you know, are actually responsible. I don't want to be, you know, the only one kind of on top of this stuff. I don't.
So what is the wording of the motion that you want to put forward?
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, if you want to say general managers and if they want to, you know, I don't care, you know.
So you'll accept that as an amendment?
Oh,
yeah,
LaVarne on the side.
Okay, I heard you, LaVarne. Okay, so Kim, so you would accept that as an amendment?
That what? That the general managers be invited and they can delegate.
That we invite the general managers and they can also bring the business managers if they would like as an additional member or as a substitute for themselves, as they,
right,
at their discretion.
Sure. I don't, you know,
okay.
I don't care. You know, I'm not married to that.
Yeah.
Oh, you understand my point that I'm making of the station's uniquenesses.
Yep.
And you know, I'm sure that they don't, will not look forward to an extra, and I also want to take...
Yeah, they might turn us down flat. I mean, it's possible. I mean, we can issue the invite. We can't probably compel their attendance.
I also want to take Jim's point very seriously. I want to take Jim's point very seriously that if they do agree to come on, that, you know, we just absolutely deal with them directly, and it's like, you know, we took a half an hour, 45 minutes.
Can we please
minutes,
have it a motion and not chatter about it?
Okay, Kim, don't interrupt. We're getting there. We're almost there. But, okay, so Kim is accepting the amendment. Looks like we're okay. LaVarne had something to say. Then because for time reasons, because we do have other items on the agenda, we're probably going to go to a vote fairly fast. But, okay, go ahead, LaVarne.
Just briefly, you know, as a member of staff, we have, like, numerous meetings during the day where we have to attend, and then we attend, Arlene and I attend the meetings in the evening. And I know in terms of staff that, you know, some people really want to carve out some time for themselves and to add an additional meeting, and especially with, at this point, when we talk, Kim and the rest of the committee, that we would arrange, and I spoke with Bernard about this, and he's absolutely willing to sit down and have this meeting with Bernard, with Anthony, and with Kim at some point after the close and after we have the numbers and to go over this in detail, the KFK's performance. That this is something that he's dedicated to do and to do during the day. But again, I think to ask or demand or even suggest that, you know, they'll want to know, well, what is the purpose of this meeting and why should we take the time away from the evening when, you know, managing a station is a 24-hour job, you know that. So, you know, it's just like, what is the purpose, you know, why should I develop?
LaVarne, I think that it would be an invite and it would be optional. We have no power to compel anyone.
And it's not every meeting.
I understand.
From
I'm just giving you the opinion.
Time,
staff.
I understand, and that may well be the feedback that we get. From time to time, GMs do join us on calls. They do it around the time of the budget, and I think we all agreed that that was a process worth doing last year.
Yeah.
And because they want their budget passed. And this would only be, we probably only do about 2 reviews per station per year, because once we're in the budgetary process, we don't have time for this stuff. And we've already completed the first one, so it would not be insanely frequent. And they have the right to turn us down flat, and I will make that 100% clear.
So for example, when we talked about the solar canopy, we made an invite that we needed someone from KPFK management to be there to discuss it with us. I don't think the NFC can punt away its right to ask GMs to join us when we feel that we need them to.
Campbell Forstat.
Yes and no. I think that you're correct. It's optional, but I'm not sure that we can totally default on the occasional need for management to have discussions with the Finance Committee. I keep hoping that we'll get to a vote, but I guess not. I hear Campbell. Is there anybody else on the stack?
I have an original wording, but it seems like people think they got a different wording.
I'm
going to
mute. That's regarding the Secretary. Kim, you've talked quite a bit, so hang on a sec. Is there anybody else who wants to discuss the motion?
I'd like to be on the stack if I can call the question.
Campbell.
You can call the question, although the people that are ahead of you will not, that are behind you will not be happy. Anybody else? All right. Then briefly, we're going to go to Campbell. We're going to go to Kim. We're going to go to Barbara. And then I will go to R. Paul to clarify the language on the motion before we vote. Campbell and Kim, try to keep it to about a minute.
It'll be much less. Madam Chair, I think that in terms of fairness to the staff, that what we need to do is when we're going to invite a staff person to participate, that we need to set a time certain when they will be engaged so that they aren't just waiting around for a half hour or, longer.
Yeah. That's what we normally do. I agree.
If we can put that in the motion, then that would be fine for a time certain.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Kim?
Okay, my only point about this is, yes, I know it's an added burden, and I am doing this because our finances really need just a little bit of extra attention. Right now, that's why. We really just need to focus more on this, and that's why I think it's fair to ask for an hour, every quarter or twice a year. I don't think that's burdensome. And I agree with Campbell about that wording. So.
Okay. And Barbara, this is your opportunity to.
I call the question.
Thank you.
Point of order.
Is that R. Paul?
Yes, R. Paul.
Yes, I know that you need to clarify the wording on the motion.
No, before
so,
can't call a question.
Nobody seconded it yet.
Tracy said we don't need to second it.
You don't need to second on a committee. I think R. Paul's point is that you can't technically call the question on a committee, which is true, but we're going to go with it. Because basically time is out and it's late, so the question, we're going to go to a vote. And y'all can put me up on charges if you want, but we have to get off the phone sooner or later.
We could not call the vote, and Barbara could just say, can we get on with it, please, damn it.
Kim, please, don't interrupt like that. Come on.
I think that is basically what Barbara said. Now, what we need to do is get the wording on the motion finalized, then we vote, and then this is going to be the last item. Whatever else is on the agenda is kicking over, because enough is enough. Okay, so, Kim, could you repeat in simple English the motion? There's an amendment that I made. I will do the wording on that unless you want to paraphrase it. And then we're also adding Campbell's amendment about a time certain. If you could put that all together, do. If not, give us the original wording and we'll add the two amendments.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to R. Paul because I think he got it down, except for the amendments the first time.
R. Paul, tell us what you have.
What I have is, when the treasurers do quarterly reports, that general managers or business managers, at the discretion of the treasurer, be present on these calls.
I believe that we have changed that to
invited to attend.
That when we have the reviews scheduled, the general manager will be invited to attend. I'm having trouble with the wording. Say that one more time. I need a pen in my hand.
The original thing I read?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you would.
The treasurers do quarterly reviews, that general managers or business managers, at the discretion of the treasurer, be present on these calls.
Be invited to be present on these calls at a time certain. Okay. So when we do the quarterly reviews, that the general managers and the business, well, that the general managers be invited
right.
to be present on these calls at a time certain.
Right. The general
That's
manager
the most.
Can delegate to the business manager if he feels like he wants to.
That the general managers be invited to attend with or without their business managers at a dedicated time certain. Is that?
That sounds good.
All right.
And then put
or Paul.
That they may also delegate to the business manager.
Mm-hmm. Or Paul, do you have that?
No.
Okay. When the quarterly reviews are scheduled,
okay, hold on.
The general managers will be invited to attend with their business managers or appointing their business managers to attend instead. At a dedicated time certain.
Ken, better wording?
All right, go for it.
With or represented by?
Yes, that's better wording. With or represented by, please. Thank you. R. Paul, does that work?
Yeah, I'm typing.
Okay. So I think we have at the time of the scheduled quarterly reviews by the treasurers, the general managers, say that again, Ken.
Shall be invited to attend the meeting with or represented by?
With or represented by the station's business managers at a dedicated time certain.
A time certain.
Yeah.
A specified time certain.
Mm-hmm. Specified or dedicated, whatever.
Let me read what I have so far.
Mm-hmm.
When the quarterly reviews are scheduled, the general manager will be invited to attend with or represented by their business managers at a dedicated time certain at the discretion of the treasurer. That's gone now, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me remove that.
Although we are probably going to force the treasurers to make the invitations. I don't know. We'll have to think about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a bitter fight. I mean, what's, you know.
All right.
Look, I mean, people will either come or they won't come. All we can do is invite them. We can't, you know, issue executive orders. Yeah.
When the quarterly reviews are scheduled, the general manager will be invited to attend with or represented by their business managers at a dedicated time certain.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
All right. That's the motion on the floor. There is no more discussion. We
have
turned into
change.
A pumpkin. No, there's no more discussion.
No, I have one change to it.
No, what change?
Okay. The general manager, how does it read, Ra Paul? The general manager shall be invited to attend, and you say with or...
Represented by.
I want to say or with. So it sounds like the general manager and the business manager. The general manager can attend alone or with the business, you know.
Okay.
Manager or.
I understand. You're inserting the or.
The or, correct.
R. Paul, insert the or.
And row our way down this.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yes.
That's it, though.
Fast enough.
All right. Let me. Okay, there's something else I'm looking at here.
Oh no.
No. I'm trying to clarify this. Crap. My brain just.
This is what happens when we don't prepare motions in advance, folks. Just as a
okay,
moral of the story.
But the quarterly reviews are scheduled. the general manager, should that be plural general managers?
Sure.
Will it, okay, will or shall, because that's actually
shall.
Shall.
It's
directed that way.
Uh-huh.
When
shall.
When the quarterly reviews are scheduled, the general managers shall...
be invited.
Be invited to attend?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
With or represented by their...
Shall be invited to attend.
Yeah.
Or with
their business managers.
Or with, okay.
Or with their business managers or represented by them. At a specific time certain, period.
Okay. When the quarterly reviews are scheduled, the general manager shall be invited to attend or with their business managers?
Or attend with their business managers.
It
is a little awkward.
It's very awkward because people are dropping words in and it's... All right. When a quarterly review is scheduled, the general managers shall be invited to attend with their...
Or attend with their business managers.
To attend with their business managers or to be represented by them. Let's do it that way. Or to be represented by
them.
Three options.
Okay. When the quarterly reviews are scheduled, the GMs, general managers, shall be invited to attend with their business managers or be represented by them. That's not an English language.
When the quarterly
reviews are scheduled, the general managers shall be invited to attend or attend with their business managers or to be represented by them. Wow.
Represented by them, yes.
Yes, that sounds fine.
Or to be represented by them at a dedicated time served.
As long as we understand what it means and it implements, I can live with a little awkward writing. I mean,
yeah, but I have to make minutes, and we all want me to put out minutes that reflect exactly what we're saying.
Yes, we all do.
So okay,
it's
so
true.
Should I read it for a final?
I'd like to recommend one thing: that you just repeat business managers instead of saying them. Just to make it really clear.
Paul, can you read it out loud?
Okay, with that. When the quarterly reviews are scheduled, the general managers shall be invited to attend or attend with their business managers or to be represented by the business managers at a dedicated time certain.
All right.
Commas in here.
Let's vote.
All right.
Comma. Or attend with the business managers, comma. Okay.
All right. R. Paul, if you would, call the roll on the motion.
Okay. Point of order. This will pass without objection.
That's true. It might, since we've all edited it. I will take that point of order. Are there any objections to the motion as most recently read?
This is LaVarne.
Without objection.
Hold on a second, Campbell. You can't say without objection because LaVarne just said something. Are you objecting, LaVarne?
I am abstaining, Tracy.
Then we then need to do a roll call, which is what I thought. R. Paul, can you call the roll?
Okay. I don't need to read it again, or not. All right.
No.
Ken Aaron.
Yes, whatever it is.
Jim Boyd.
Yeah.
Bill Crozier.
Not here.
Marcus Jeter.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman.
Yes.
Marple Martin. Pass. Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg. Alex?
I'm going to abstain because I have not been paying attention. I'm sorry. I'm out of it due to a personal thing that's going on.
That's fine.
Barbara Wipperman.
Yes.
With Ron Williams.
Abstain.
Going back to me, I'm going to abstain on this one. Okay, the total is 7-4, 0 against, 3 abstentions.
All right, mission accomplished. So this motion is now in effect. That means we have one review to go, WBAI, so we will need to issue that invite to the general manager of WBAI. If you could go ahead and take care of that, R. Paul, and it would be for the next meeting.
Oh, please.
I understand he might not choose to join us. That is okay. It is simply a question of issuing the invite per the motion.
Point of information, I mean, since we didn't put on any of the others, I mean, he could, you know, I personally told him to being the only one doing this. I mean, it's, you know, it's a courtesy, and if they, you know...
Okay, so very quickly, a chair's ruling that in order to be fair to all GMs, we can waive WBAI this go-round. Any objections?
No.
Not objections.
Good. Then we're all set, and this will start whenever we do a second quarter review. All right, so any items remaining on the agenda will be kicked over to the next meeting because we've pretty much run out of time. Can I get a motion
adjourn
the meeting?
Madam Chair, I move adjournment.
Thank you for getting right ahead of me there. Okay, are there any objections to adjourning?
Without objection.
Then I will see you all on the 27th. Good night.
Thank you all very much.
Good night.